Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
We're all like guns, and I love being free. Because I'm armed, you can't take that from me, and you should know it.
Welcome to New Shooter Canada, episode 140. I'm one of your hosts, Benny, and this week we have Thomas.
Hello.
And Mike.
Hello.
Thomas, what did you do this week in guns?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I've been in and out of the hospital the last few days. I haven't been feeling too good. So you're going to get a co-host that's sitting on an ice pack and that's stoned to morphine all night. The only thing I did, actually, I spoke to Mary Patrick and asked how she did in Germany. And she was the top Canadian shooter in the Germany match. And she came in 112th out of everybody, which is great because there was hundreds and hundreds of people there. And she leaves for Bisley, England on Wednesday for the Bisley match. So we hopefully Mary will kick ass in Bisley. What about you, Mike?
I shot my first ever Steel Challenge match at USC on Canada Day. They were hosting the IPSC Club there, hosted the Steel Challenge match. And they invited all the IDPA competitors as well. So that was really fun. Really, really different because you shoot each stage five times and they take your best four scores. So
they let you shoot an IPSC match without a black badge?
Well, because this wasn't an IPSC match. It was just put on by the IPSC Club. It was the IPSC Club who got all the steel, made all the shrouding, organized it, RO'd it.
Oh, that's cool.
Did all that stuff.
Do you use your revolver?
Oh, yeah. And there was another revolver shooter there.
Oh, excellent.
Who I beat.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I came one out of two.
That wasn't the old guy, Peter. That's in like his 60s, is it?
I wouldn't want to make a judgment call on his age, but I wouldn't be surprised if he was retired.
Okay.
Let me phrase it that way.
Would it have been a sanctioned steel match, or was it like their interpretation of the steel challenge?
It was, they used the stages from Steel Challenge, but she said at the end, and I kind of missed some of it, it would not have been a sanctioned steel challenge match because A, they didn't have enough steel to actually do it.
Uh-huh.
They actually used a couple of poppers and they just, what'd they use? They used like a bungee cord. And, like, tied them up so they wouldn't fall down when you hit them.
Okay.
But there was stuff like, there was just little stuff like that. The stop plate didn't actually stop the clock. They just used the last shot.
Yeah.
Just little things like that. And she had said it would not have been official. And she also said something about, based on the guidelines of the CFO, you could not make an official Steel Challenge match in Ontario.
Okay, but like the stage setup, like you're only shooting, you basically only shot five shots each, or the minimum you shot on each round, on each stage was five shots.
Yeah, they were, okay. Like the actual stages themselves were pulled right from Steel Challenge.
Oh, okay.
Like you could look, like if I was smart and I had done my research ahead of time, I could have like looked them up and seen, you know, what did Jerry Michalik do and then go, I'll take double what that is, so...
And still be good. And still be pretty good.
It was interesting. It was fun because, like, one of the things, very first one, I shot it, five shots, done. Bam. Okay, good. I do it again, five shots, bam, done. Good. Like, okay, like, I'm getting the hang of that. Next one, I miss a shot, so I have to do a makeup. Next one, I miss two shots, have to do two makeup. And it just, like, go downhill. And it gets in your head because you do it so many times. You're like, you know, I can do this in 3 seconds. How come it's take? You know, how come I'm missing? How come I'm going slow? It literally gets in your head when you do it five times in a row. It also gets frustrating when you do good at the beginning and then you get worse. Because then you're like, come on, I was doing it better at the beginning. But at the same time, when you do bad at the beginning and you get progressively better with like your, you know, when you're fourth and fifth stage, you're doing them clean. And it's like, all right, you know, you're almost getting used to it. You're getting into your groove. So,
yeah.
It was good. It was a lot of fun. It was very different. And it's so much different shooting steel than shooting paper. Because with paper, you take your shot, you figure, okay, you know, like it's good enough for me, I guess you can almost say, and you move on. But with steel, it's either you hit it or you didn't.
Yeah.
Right? So if you don't ring that steel, you got to shoot again. Like there's no just saying, oh, that was just outside. It was close enough. I'll take the small penalty and move on. So
the thing I hate about steel poppers is that they don't always go down. So you could take your shot and then out of habit, you want to make sure that you actually made the shot and it may take a half a second or a second for that thing to actually start falling. So out of habit, you do them really, really fast and you look back and that first one is still up. So
yeah,
that's challenging. Did Sarah shoot it?
No, she didn't. originally she was just going to watch the baby because we didn't know what the setup was going to be like. And then last minute, my parents asked if they could come up. So they ended up watching the baby while we went, or I went and shot it. And Sarah just kind of said, oh, she was just going to sit out this one. So she still came. She still had lots of fun hanging out with the usual group of people and meeting new people, meeting all the Ipsic people. So
you get to babysit the next time she wants to shoot.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. What about you, Benny? What you doing, guns?
So I took a new shooter shooting today, and they shot pretty well. This week, I did that. I'm trying to move more into the firearms community. So I'm now a official instructor for Ragnarok Tactical.
Excellent.
Yeah, that happened this week. Hopefully, I'll be launching my own website soon. And it's basically already up, but, you know, finishing touches and whatnot, where I hope to be offering stuff, whatever. So that's taking up a lot of my time this week.
Sorry, what are you offering up on your website?
Stuff and stuff.
Yeah, that's okay. What I thought he said. Stuff and
I
more stuff.
I did say stuff and stuff. I hope to offer some courses, some Ragnarok stuff, courses. Oh, hope to offer maybe some reloading equipment if I can get it cheap for people. Hope to turn this into real business, but we'll see how that works out.
And we'll have recipes by Mel and
yeah, that's all from Tasty. She those Tasty videos. She doesn't actually make that stuff.
Well, I won't say it. Benny does look well fed though, so she must be a good cook.
That's all the carbs.
Now you're also we were also discussing online something about you're looking at a magazine business. Have you done any further thought on that?
So I was looking because, you know, trying to get in. So I contacted a company about bringing in their stuff, and I haven't heard of anything back from them. So I might have to speak to one of their distributors and see if I can bring them in, because right now I think as far as aftermarket products for magazines, people are pretty much stuck with either Magpul or that's it. So, you know, and that's pretty much like, I think the only, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think Metgar, you don't see too many of those north of the border. And as far as pistol, aftermarket pistol magazines, I think the only thing right now is Magpul.
You can find Metgar, just depend on what gun you're looking for it in. Like, I got all my SIG mags are Metgar now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so some of my 19, my STI used to come with, like, STI used to come with Megar magazines, and they stopped using those.
Uh-huh, so I'll have to, I didn't know that, okay. I was trying to bring in the Elander mags, but I haven't heard back from them. I doubt they listen to this podcast, so whatever.
Well, he had a good idea, because the mags that fit his Jericho also fit his CZ. And
yeah,
they're half the retail price, so and, you know, to go get a CZ magazine, depending where you get it, I bought 10 of them a couple of years ago, and it cost me like $350 or $60 a piece. I think they're more than like $75 a piece nowadays. So if you can offer an alternative.
I actually went to Firearms Outlet on Thursday, and I was surprised to see 10 Fogo mags for, I think it was $49.99. So that's pretty cheap.
And they're made by Metgar.
I don't actually remember who makes them. I should have checked. Doing all this research and I totally just missed that one, but they I was kind of surprised they were selling them for so cheap, but Firearms Outlet there seems to be competing pretty well when it comes to prices, what I've seen around, so shout out to them.
Their prices are very reasonable.
Yeah, and apparently they're now the I guess I'm moving on to the next thing in the topic, what's new in the industry, but whatever, we'll do that later. But they're now covering Gun Vault paraphernalia, so if you guys want to buy shirts or hats from Canadian Gun Vault, you can pick them up there, and they're all over the place at Silverdale, those hats.
I like that hat that they had on their website, their the Kennedy hat with the FOC logo on the back and the half a maple leaf with the AR. They're making 150 of them for, I think they went at $25. I wanted to drop by the store and pick one up, I just hadn't feel like really going.
Oh, if you'd let me know, I could have picked one up for you.
We should let me know where you're going.
Yeah, well, I wanted to enter the contest, so...
So you drove all the way out there just to enter the contest.
Well, I also want to speak to Adam, who, by the way, I'm not the only person who has a great... I was talking to the person that took shooting today, and she went there, and she spoke to him, and he gave her who was very patient with her, gave her a lot of time, and like helped, like spoke to her and everything. And so yeah, shout out to Adam for being a great, great ambassador to the sport. And just an all around great guy. So yeah,
that's the beard of knowledge, right, Adam?
Yeah, that's the beard of knowledge.
Yeah, he's a decent guy. He's really good. You get great customer service at Firearms Outlet. I've never, anytime I've had a question, they've always been able to answer it.
Yeah, like they were pretty, like I thought, oh, okay, I'm going on Thursday, so it's the middle of the week. Place is going to be like, it's the middle of the day. Like, I didn't go at like, you know, at like 4 or 5 in the afternoon. I went at like 11:30 and the place was packed. Like, not packed. Like, there's not a lot of room to begin with in the store, but there were like, there was like 7 or 8 people walking around that store, and there's not a lot of room. And Adam still took time to speak to me, so I really appreciate that. So, yeah, shout out to him.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So, Thomas, what's story one? Guns in the news.
Guns in the news. Tough as nails, Kurdish female sniper keeps it cool under ISIS fire and laughs it off. This is from the Nathan F. from the Firearms blog. A cool head under fire was on display in a video released just yesterday in which a female sniper from the Women's Protection Unit, the YPJ, is part of a largely Kurdish Syrian Democratic Forces narrowly avoided the bullet of an ISIS sniper who had her sights on her. And I remember seeing it. You can see the bullet just clipped over her head. She just laughed it off. It was funny. In the second half of the video, the sniper is seen hitting the cover behind her, visibly anxious but still smiling. Her body language communicates her embarrassment at having been caught and just a touch of nerves as she follows up near the footsteps of death. Response to the video online has been characterized by awe at her cool head under fire and also criticism for her sniper tactics. Yes, keep your head down. Regarding the latter, it should be understood that she is unlikely as she's trained as a sniper in the Western sense of the word, but probably something closer to what we would call a designated markswoman. The key difference in these roles is, well, the designated markswoman has more training in marksmanship than the average trooper. They do not receive the same training in, among other things, concealment, camouflage, and the true snipe would receive. So this close call was truly a lesson on its own, and I doubt she'll make the same mistake next year. You guys see the video, Mike?
Next time. Yeah, I did.
Yes, I saw it.
It was kind of fun. She's like, oh, shoot.
That was I screwed nervous. Up. Giggle, giggle.
Yeah, exactly. And then you see her tactical sandals.
Yeah, I think she probably got in trouble over that.
Yeah. Okay, story two. This is by Pete, no last name, from the Firearms blog. Federal judge rejects California mag ban. I'm going to keep this short and sweet. A federal judge has rejected a California law that was set to take effect to ban ownership and possession of firearm magazines that hold more than 10 rounds. U.S. District Judge Roger Bentz said that people should be able to use firearms with whatever common magazine size he or she judges best suits the situation. A testimony to individual liberty I personally find refreshing. Before we wield pitchforks and torches, this news regarding law and policy is law and policy, not politics. Additional information can be found below. He then actually cited another writer, Alexander Yoon Hendricks, Ayun Hendricks at Suckabee.com. A federal judge has temporarily blocked a voter-approved California law that would have forced gun owners to get rid of a high-capacity ammunition magazines by this Saturday. U.S. District Judge Roger Bentz, who said in San Diego, issued a preliminary injunction Thursday that found the law was likely unconstitutional because it prevents people from using firearms that employed whatever common magazine size he or she judged best suits the situation. The law would have barred people from possessing magazines containing more than 10 bullets. The state of California's desire to criminalize simple possession of a firearm magazine able to hold more than 10 rounds is precisely the type of policy choice that the Constitution takes off the table, the injunction read. Bentz added that a final decision will take too long to offer relief, and because the state statutes will soon visit irreparable harm on plaintiff and all those similarly situated, a statewide preliminary injunction is necessary and justified to maintain the status quo. The judge granted the request of an attorney from the National Rifle Association, affiliated California Rifle and Pistol Association, to temporarily block the law. In the days leading up to the ban, some California gun owners, pro-gun sheriffs, and sellers have been reluctant to give up their magazines. Some gun owners have previously said that they were hoping pending court challenge would block the ban. We're not going to knock on anybody's door looking for them, said Shasta County Sheriff Tom Bisenko, in an earlier interview with The Bee. We're essentially making law-abiding citizens into criminals with the new law. The ban is part of Proposition 63 approved with 63% of votes in November that required background checks for people buying ammunition and instituted other firearm restrictions. To get rid of the magazine in compliance with the approved law, California gun owners would have been allowed to move them out of the state, sell them to a licensed dealer, destroy them, or hand them over to law enforcement. So I'm glad they got that in, and I'm glad that someone recognized what the Second Amendment is supposed to do.
I like how they say, you know, large extra capacity magazines. They're not. They're normal capacity magazines. That's what they're made for. When you buy your Glock or your Ruger, it either comes with a 15 or 16 round magazine. Your AR comes with a 30 round. That's the design by the manufacturer. It's only when it gets castrated by legislation that it cuts it down to 5 or 10 rounds. I just hate when they use, you know, large capacity. It's not.
It's regular capacity. No, it's standard.
Yeah, it's standard capacity. That's what it was designed for. You can get a 30-round stick magazine for a Glock. You can get a drum magazine for an AR. But it's designed by the manufacturer to hold a certain amount, not liberalized to 10 just to make people feel good. Because it's ridiculous. Because, you know, if somebody's got 2 or 3 regular capacity magazines, or somebody like, you know, Mike or I, who've been trained to shoot action pistol, we can drop and reload just as fast as anybody that's – we can go through 20 rounds at the same time as somebody that doesn't know what they're doing using a 15 or 16 round magazine. It doesn't matter. It makes no difference if you limit somebody to 5 rounds or 10 rounds. As long as they have multiple magazines, they can still get the same amount of rounds on target. So it's a stupid law.
I know there's at least one sheriff department that actually put a video up on YouTube showing a seasoned shooter versus a novice switching magazines with magazine restrictions, and then I think they went from 5, 10 and then to full magazines. And I think he even talked about what's called the New York reload, where you just, when you're finished shooting, you drop the gun, pull out the next gun, and start shooting again. So,
and that's one I haven't heard, the New York reload.
Yeah, you just drop your gun.
You've never heard that?
No, I've never heard that expression.
That goes back to the old revolver days when you'd only have like a 5 or 6 shot revolver. And it was faster just to drop your revolver and pull another one out than it would be to actually load it up. Especially, you know, before the days of speed loaders and moon clips.
You see, I'm not really that old then, Mike, am I?
Apparently not.
Or he just missed the whole, you know, gangster phase.
I was never into the gangster thing.
Mike probably listened to that. Oh, I mean, when I say gangster, I mean like pinstripe suits and cigars. I'm not talking...
like real gangsters.
I'm talking real gangsters, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying another word. What's new in the industry, Benny?
New in the industry. So, yeah, this is mine. I think I heard reference to it actually being called the Tavor 7. But when I was roughly pulling this together for the show, this is off the firearms blog again from Nicholas C. It's just references the Tavor and 308. So they called them to confirm it is a 308 Tavor. The rifle looks interesting. It's likely a hybrid between the SAR, which is coming out of IWI US. So SAR is their TAR 21, SAR and the X95. The handguard and magwell are all reminiscent of the SAR. Even the bolt release is SAR style. The handguard appears to have M-lock slots. In front of the handguard is what looks like an adjustable gas block. The magazine release is similar to the X95. The rear of this new 308 Tavor looks odd with it has a really flat stock, as if chopped in the Photoshop. I suspect the barrel was 18 inch, giving the rifle a greater overall length, and so it does not need the thicker butt pad that the SAR and the X95 do to keep the overall length at 26 inches. No word yet on price or when it will be available. Hopefully we'll get to see one and shoot it in an upcoming Big 3 East event in October.
When are you ordering it?
I still need to get an X95.
Do you have a 308 yet, Benny?
I do not.
Well,
I have the Lee loader, hand loader for 308. I don't have a rifle chamber in 308.
Well, it's almost like it's calling to you, Benny.
I know, right?
Benny.
But I wouldn't be able, it doesn't have the single, I think it's the Lee hand loader. It's not full resizing, so it's only good for bolt action or lever actions.
Well, the other thing, too, he hasn't finished his AR build, and he's going to need an AR if he's going to be working with Andrew and Ragnarok Tactical. So maybe he should actually make it an AR-10 build.
I don't know.
Then he'll have a 308.
I actually just ordered... Oh, that's something else I forgot I did in This Week in Guns. I ordered the Alsace Platoon Gunworks, the Aero Precision Upper and Lower, the stripped lower and the well, it's not really a stripped upper because it comes with the dust cover and forward assist, but the rest of it's missing. So that's coming. That's hopefully coming in whenever that gets cleared through the CFOs.
Those were on sale, weren't they?
Yes. Yeah. There was a pre-sale price, and then so I emailed them asking, you know, so when are they coming in? They're like, oh, we have them in. So if they're, and I think they're still at the pre-sale price, so people order them in because they're gonna come there soon.
Yeah.
No, but I would hope I don't know about anyone else, but I would think that you'd want a thicker buck pad on the 308.
Yeah, I think they're more referring to, I can only imagine in the U.S. they have their minimum rifle overall length, kind of like we have, right? If a gun is too short, then it gets classified as restricted.
Right.
So it could be the same thing. IWI at some point in time said, hey, let's just add an extra inch onto the butt plate, and that'll make it long enough.
So if they did that this time, and then, you know, they may just add an extra half inch on their on the barrel, then it's Canada legal. Like,
yeah,
come on, IWI USA. Like, don't leave everything up to IWI Israel. Yeah, but that'd be a fun gun to shoot.
Yeah, I imagine it would. I guess that's really the first competition that the Kel-Tec RFB would have had, a 308 bullpup.
Yeah, actually, Danny Bolofsky, when he shared this, he said, move over, Kel-Tec. So,
oh, yeah?
Yeah, it was, you're not the only one to think of that.
Yeah. Well, there's not really a huge, a lot of options out there. If you're a bullpup kind of person and you want something on 308, I mean, there's a 50 BMG option, but no 308 kind of seems odd.
There's a 50 BMG in bullpup?
There is a 50 BMG, is it the Lynx? Is that the right one? No, I'm going to have to look it up.
Does it use AR magazines? So you're...
Yep. It's the Lynx. That thing looks... That looks so scary.
There, I just dropped a link into the show.
Oh.
And I'll put this link into the show notes as well.
So our listeners can see it.
Oh, I mean, wow. It starts at 15 grand, but it's currently on sale for only 10.
Really? Where do you see that? Oh, I see it. Never mind.
That's a lot of allowance saving, Benny.
No, special order deposit. That's just the deposit, Mike, I think.
Oh, I thought that was the... that's if you're ordering it, you only have to put a deposit on. Yeah. I thought that was a sale.
No.
Oh, Mike, sorry, you got them all disappointed now.
That, yeah. Like, I don't know why, but that gun just like reminds me of like Underworld. I think it's Underworld. The werewolves and vampire movies.
Yeah, yeah.
I Underworld, can just imagine that being like mounted on some tower and them shooting at people. So, yeah.
If you just search it, there's a lot of YouTube videos of people shooting it.
Is it semi-auto?
It is a semi-auto bullpup 50 BMG.
Yowzer. This is it. This is my dream gun.
It's a big dream. It's $5 every time you pull the trigger.
Yep, there's literally a video of a guy shooting it standing up too.
Does it end with him sitting down or like he just...
No, he stays standing the whole time.
It seems very impressive.
I'll drop a YouTube link into the show notes.
Thing's a monster.
For people to see it.
I'm assuming he has a comp on it too, right?
Yeah, it has a comp on it. It's a moving barrel. I don't quite understand how it works, but
I think most, like, I know the Barretts all have them, where any large cal, like, once you go into artillery, or like cannon sizes, those barrels are reciprocating. I think I forget what the exact term is, but basically it takes in some of the recoil. So if you ever watch like someone shooting off artillery, you'll see the whole barrel just move into the gun, and that's just to absorb recoil.
Yeah.
And they all have that, you know, huge Barrett muzzle brake on them.
There are some sporting guns that have a recoiling barrel. The old Browning Auto 5, the original one, it actually had a recoiling barrel, I believe.
Well, this one recoils like 8-10 inches.
And he's holding it when he's shooting it?
He's standing up, yeah. I think he's doing it just to prove that he can do it. Not so much that you should do it. Not that he's hitting anything. At the rate he's shooting it, there's no way he'd be hitting much.
But it still sounds like fun.
Oh, yeah. So much fun.
You got to say you've done it, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm saving up for the next charity event where I can say, hey, I've shot a 50 now.
Hey, if it only takes you 1 year to save up enough money for this gun, then that's not bad.
oh no, this is just to shoot it. I'm saving up money. Not. I don't have.
Oh, I thought you were saying you're going to save up and you're going to bring it to the next charity.
Oh no, I wish. No.
Well, the last Make a Wish shoot that the Silverdale
pumpkin
had,
shoot.
Pumpkin shoot. They had a 50 yeah. BMG there.
Yeah, yeah. So next time I go, I'm going to. I think I might drop some coin.
I'd like to try shooting one. I've never shot anything bigger than a 308.
I tell you, the muzzle blast out of that break was so bad because I made the mistake of standing in the wake of the muzzle blast. It actually knocked the coffee flying out of my hand. Plus, I jumped up a couple of feet, but it literally just blew it right out of my hand.
Yeah.
No, the biggest I've ever shot was a 357 Win Mag. Is that the right thing? I don't remember. I shot it. Whatever I shot like 2 weeks ago.
That's the biggest Gavin? I've
ever shot. Oh yeah, that it was like 457. It was something.
I don't remember. I posted pictures for you guys. I think thing was as big as my hand. Giant.
Yeah.
I think the biggest I ever shot was a 375 Holland and Holland. It was a rooted bolt action. It wasn't too bad because I was standing up and leaning into it, so my body moved like a shock absorber. It wasn't too brutal. I'd hate to shoot it from a bench.
That is huge. I just Googled it. It's really big. So this week's main topic is Canada Day weekend, right? So we just had our 150th anniversary. What are some of your guys' favorite Canadian gun stories, memories, etc.?
I was thinking about this and I couldn't think of anything till we just started the show, then it came back to me. Yes, I'm old enough that I was here for the 100th anniversary. I can remember my favorite one was I was 7 years old. My dad was the honor guard for the Naval Reserve. And when, I guess, was it Prince Charles came? Prince Charles came for the Canadian Centennial in 1967. And my dad had the honor, he was in charge of the honor guard at City Hall. And the guys gave the prince a 21-gun salute at Nathan Phillips Square for our 100th centennial. And my dad collected up all the empty brass, and he gave it to me afterwards. They're still in the basement somewhere. So I still have the 303 brass that the soldiers used from the in the Lee Enfields in 1967 from the Centennial. So I just remembered that. It's downstairs someplace.
That's cool.
What about Mike? Do you have any memories?
Well, my only real, I'd say, Canadian memory was the very first maple seed that happened up here, up in Bancroft.
Shucks.
You forgot.
That's my personal Canadian memory is the maple seed. Go on, Mike. Sorry.
I got it first. Well, no, that was my first time meeting Thomas, George, Kelly, everyone from New Shooter Canada podcast. And it was awesome. It was awesome to see that. I guess when you're sitting out there and you're listening to a podcast, you don't really realize all the other people who listen to it and follow it the same way that you do. So it was really cool to meet a lot of the other listeners as well, and it was a really great time. I had a lot of fun, even though I didn't even get my rifleman patch.
You'll get it next time, Mike.
Yeah, next time.
It was like that for me when I met the crew from Slamfire, when I went to my first charity shoot, and I met Trevor and Matthew and Owen and Jewel. It was, and seeing all the other people that listened, and I met 10X and everything else, it was great. I really enjoyed it. What about Benny? What's your Canadian memory?
My Canadian memory would probably be Maple Seed, or maybe the charity shoot last year. One of those two. I just it was just nice meeting all these people who are also into guns, and you know, not hiding the fact that I own guns and I like shooting them. It's very very liberating.
It's fun when you can be loud and proud, eh?
Yes. Yeah. It was great. It was a great time.
It's nice when shooters can come out of the closet.
Yeah. The shooter's closet. Well, okay, let's put it this way. They come out of the safe, so.
Well, yeah, that's a better definition. They have to be safely stored. They're not in the closet.
Yeah, so that's probably my favorite Canadian gun memory. Although there was some confusion as to what the question exactly was. So for the other side, I guess it's not really the answer that Mike was probably looking for, but in terms of historical Canadian firearms, I was reading in the latest issue of Caliber magazine how they were trying to reproduce, I think they called it the Stinger machine gun from World War II, where the Marines were actually issued a really bad or not as efficient, what did they call it, the 1919 or something? this is coming very unprepared. Yeah, 1919 A4s. So what some guys did was they salvaged some AN/M2s, which were the machine guns mounted on the rear of bombers, I believe, and then adjusted them for their own use. They added a bipod on the front and chopped off a grand stock and put that on the back and gave it a proper trigger. And it was lighter and faster and more efficient to use than their 1919s. But the funny thing is someone actually went through the process of converting some AN/M2s into what they thought the Stingers looked like. And I just thought it was funny. They went to the Canadian Museum in Southern Ontario, and they chopped up one of these things to make it look like the Stinger. So, yeah, I guess that's my favorite memory of Canadian gun history, or what's left of it.
Well, I do have Canadian history. Remember the HMCS Haida? It was docked down at Ontario Place for the longest time. The Canadian story, now it's at the Leftards, moved it to Hamilton. My dad was one of the crew that actually, the HMCS Haida was destined for scrapped. It was in Buffalo. It was going to be sold for scrap, and a bunch of the Naval Reserve units at HMCS York, they bought it for scrap, and they had tugs, and they sold the boiler out of it, and the Reserve Naval Officers at HMCS York that actually saved and preserved the HMCS Haida. So my dad was one of the chief officers on board when they brought it back. So my mom and my sisters and I went down to the jetty, and actually they put it into beside one of the silos down on Fleet Street. And my dad was on the deck, and he waved to me, and all the soldiers made a ladder, and all the soldiers got on each other's shoulder, and then they passed me up the shoulder, and they put me on the deck of the HMCS Haida when it docked in. So, and I got to see all the great big guns and everything on the ship. So that's my big childhood Canadian memory. I made the front page of the Toronto Telegram, the Toronto Stars. All the soldiers lifted me up the human ladder and put me on the deck of the ship. And I'm looking down, and I'm just screaming because I'm afraid they're going to drop me in the water. But I got up there safely. So that's my big Canadian memory.
Mike?
I don't know if I necessarily have one. I mean, it's hard to pick a specific one. You can't help but be proud of what Canada did in their involvement in World War I and World War II and around the world as a whole, and in a lot of peacemaking operations. So it's really hard to pick something in particular like that. But I am proud of the Canadian involvement that their military has done over the years and what it kind of represented.
Have you had any family members that served?
I did. I had a grandfather, and his brothers all served, all of them in the Air Force. Unfortunately, I never actually met my grandfather. He passed away approximately a year before I was born, and I never met any of his brothers either.
Oh, that's unfortunate. What about you, Benny?
So, I guess Vimy Ridge is probably the one thing that sticks out of my mind, probably just because I remember that. But going to high school in the States, you've got to remember 1812, although that technically wasn't us. So.
Sure it was. They invaded us. We kicked their butt. Actually, my great-grandfather was gassed at Vimy Ridge. He survived. And my grandfather was a real rear-tail gunner in a Lancaster, and so was his brother, and they both survived the war, too. I'm probably the only one in my family that actually never went into the military.
Being relatively new to Canada, I don't have a history like that. My grandfather did serve in some capacity during the First World War, I think more on the home front in South Africa, but they did not see any service on foreign soil. Okay, so it's going to be a very busy summer, folks, so lots of gun stuff happening. First event, Thomas, you want to tell us about it?
First event.
Since you're the only one not going.
First event is the Carbine Operator Course by Ragnarok Tactical, July 7th, Kitchener, Ontario. I believe it's sold out. The cost is $200, and that's including theft. I don't think there's any spaces left, but you can contact Gavin and the guys to see if there is any events. And then that's followed by the... Actually, you want to do the next one, Mike?
Sure. The next event is the next day, the 7th Annual Canadian Podcaster Charity Shoot, which is July 8th, Guelph, Ontario, $40. You can register online or at the event, but they would prefer if you registered online so they know how much food and t-shirts to have available.
Event number 3. Next week's going to be a busy week with lots of things happening at Silverdale Gun Club. They're hosting the IPSC Provincials from July 13th until July 16th at the same time, Silverdale will be putting on an open house on July 15th. Thomas will be working at the Grand Power Distribution booth and will have a full product line on hand for you to try.
So if you're out there, come say hi. I don't think there is any charge for the ammo. We're going to have the whole product line there, so you get to play with some X-Cals and some Q100s if you want to check them out.
Is there anyone else going to be offering their wares there, or just Grand Power?
Yes, yes. No, not. There's going to be two of us. There's going to be us and Sig at the same time. And so the 15th is the open house with the range time, and as I said, Sig and Grand Power. And then the Sunday is, I believe, the close for the IPSC event, and that will be the awards. So I think the open house is just the one day.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, on the 16th, on the Sunday, the same Sunday, the East Ontario Handgun Club is in cooperation with the CCFR. You remember, I'm stoned on morphine right now, so you'll have to excuse me. I'm more airhead more than usual. They're hosting a ladies' shoot. No license or experience is required. This event will run from 12 o'clock to 5 o'clock. Cost is $35 and includes the use of guns, ammo, t-shirt prizes, and extra ammo will be available.
Go ahead, Mike. What's event number 5?
On Saturday, July 22nd, Silverdale Gun Club and Land Shooting Supplies will be hosting one of their annual Make-A-Wish charity event. This will include a lot of fun activities and barbecue in the afternoon. Events include a 22 long rifle golf ball shoot, trap match, yeah, you must pre-register for that, a steel match, which you also must pre-register, archery, axe and knife throwing, 50-50 draws, etc. More to be announced.
Then I found the poster. They're having a draw for Chris Vector 45 caliber centerfire rifle, Smith & Wesson MP20 handgun. They're giving away membership, gift cards. I went to, I think they hold two of these a year, don't they, Benny?
I think so.
They have this one in the summer, then they have a pumpkin shoot in the fall. I went to the pumpkin shoot last year, and it was a blast. Lots of stuff to win. Lots of prizes. I think they gave away, they had two gun draws last year, so it looks like they've stepped it up this year with that Chris Vector, because that's not a cheap firearm.
No.
About $1,500. Currently on sale for Canada Day.
Yeah, well, to enter the competitions, it's $20 for the matches, and the VIP day pass, I guess, for all the shooting is $10. And go out there, it's a really nice range. Sarah and both her mom, Joan, put on a really great show, so if you're in the area, go check it out. I'm trying to get away for this one. Wife's not impressed that I'm running away for the 15th, and I'm trying to talk her and let me go the next weekend. And this is a Sunday, isn't it, Penny? It's the 22nd of Sunday?
Well, I say 22nd is a Saturday.
It is a Saturday. Yeah. Damn. So Benny can't make that one. Because you were at the last one. You were at the pumpkin shoot, weren't you, Benny?
I was at the pumpkin shoot, yeah. So Thomas, if you want to, grab a ticket and write my name on it, put it in for the Chris Vector. We'll see what comes out.
Oh, I think I could do that for you.
That's the Chris Vector rifle, though, not the...
Yeah, it's not the pistol. It's the carbine.
So it'll have that big, long shroud on the end.
It doesn't look bad. As far as, shrouding your barrel goes, they did a good job making it look cool.
They can make it look as cool as they want. It still doesn't look like the what it's meant to look like, in my opinion.
I don't know. I just watched Iraqi Veteran 88's video on bullpups, and I want to get a P90 now, so yeah.
Yeah, we can get those, eh?
Yeah, but where are you going to find ammo or magazines?
Ammo, you're probably making your own, and magazines, hopefully from the same guy who sells you the gun, sells you at least one mag.
At least one.
I remember seeing one on CGN for, I'm going to say $3,000 at least. So
yeah, I think that's roughly what they go for.
Not seeing one of those anytime soon.
No. Yeah, right after that, the 50 BMG, the bullpup.
Oh, that links. Event number 6, Canada Sportswomen Society, is in association with Feather Frenzy Outfitter, presents in field waterfowl event. Saturday, August 26, 2017, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., you will learn calling, shot placement, shot moving targets from standing, and laying out blinds, decoy setup, and so much more. Cost is $50. Per person, non-refundable, includes gift bag, ammo, skeet, lunch, refreshments, and a chance of some great prizes. Requirement, PAL, shotgun, and chair. For more information, contact Lorianne Horst at 226-923-0193. Sponsored by Kent Cartridge and GoHuntBirds.com, I believe.
And they're encouraging any apprentice hunters to go if you want to go check it out.
And yep. sounds like a great deal. You're getting lunch, sorry, refreshments, ammo, targets, and lunch, sorry, a gift bag, and prizes. So that sounds like a really good deal.
I can't remember the last time I went anywhere where I got a gift bag. Like, I mean, besides when I was 5 and went to a birthday party.
Oh, you gotta go to more trade shows.
It's a sportswoman society. They usually give gift bags to the ladies.
Ah, free stuff.
But this is open to both...
It's co-ed, and Lori did message me, and she did invite us. So if you don't go, Mike, I'll give you my gift bag, okay?
Okay. But it won't be the same.
Okay, I'll give it to Sarah then.
I'd love to go to this. This actually sounds quite awesome, but we're just too far away.
Yeah, it's on a Saturday, so it makes it difficult for Benny too. And it is far away.
Yeah. Oh well.
And I guess
event number 6, because I think that's event number 4. No, nope, it's event number 6.
The final event.
The final event is the Florenceville Gun Club is having their 4th annual club fundraiser. And actually, I should contact Ash if there's any tickets left. Tickets can be purchased at $20 each. We have the link for the show notes. They got some cool prizes. First prize is a Tika T3 Sporter in T23 or $1,500 in cash. A Henry Lever action or $400 in cash. I believe some Cytron binoculars and some shooting glasses. So if you contact them, the draw is at the end of September, and there's only 400 tickets for sale. So your odds are pretty good at 1 in 400. Any listener email? Because I didn't.
I did.
Anything?
Nope.
Oh, thank God Mr. Uzi didn't write in again.
I didn't get scorned again. Nope.
Please send any feedback, questions, or comments you may have to host@newshootercanada.ca. our Facebook page, or in the comment section of our website at newshootercanada.ca. iTunes?
Nada.
1,119 Facebook likes.
Excellent.
It is excellent, actually. We're doing pretty well. Shoutouts. Closing comments. Thomas?
Closing comments? I don't really... We were talking about the Canadian moments or something, and shooting-wise... The one that actually came to my mind first of time was Jessica Grew at the charity shoot, when we got her from in a state of being absolutely terrified of firearms to getting her on the firing line and actually having her to love shooting. And I actually just messaged her today and asked if she got her firearms license yet. She said no. She's been working on these, but she's apparently got her yoga license now. So she said she's still intending on doing it. She's still interested. She still likes to go shooting with her husband. So that was one memory that I really liked. Closing comments, that's about it. What about you guys? You got any comments?
I'd like to thank my wife, as usual, but in addition for dealing with me as a crazy person I am, she set up the website and managing everything in behind the scenes, so I'd like to thank her. And shout out to all the guys at Ragnarok. Thanks for taking me on.
Excellent.
Awesome. Did you mention the website?
No, I didn't, but it's... BennyLewis.ca, so BennyLewis.ca.
We can put the link to Ragnarok Tactical in there too, so people want to sign up for some courses. Shoutouts, I'd like to give a shout out to the staff at Bowenville Hospital. I ended up in the hospital a couple times this weekend, and they're actually really good to me. And they give out the best medication, George. Oh, I'm telling you. She goes, you want something for the pain? I said, sure. She goes, see. Mind you, the injection in the butt was very painful, but he said, well, we'll give you something to go home. And I figured against like Tylenol 1s, Tylenol 2s. No, they gave me morphine. I've never had morphine at the hospital. So that's, and they, you know, 3 different doctors every time, and they are very thorough. They're really nice to me, and they gave me good news at the end. So I'm still in pain, but at least it's nothing that I have to worry about. So my shout outs to Bowmanville Hospital. Mike, you have any shout outs?
My shout out would just be to the Ipsic Club at EOSC for putting on the Steel Challenge match. It was awesome. It was really fun. And I'm really glad that someone in the area has kind of taken the reins on that and is promoting it and bringing it to the area.
Awesome. Thomas, you want to take us out?
Until next week, keep your barrels downrange and smoking.
Time spent at the range is time spent with family.
It's not about the odds, it's about the stakes. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Well, I really like...
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood.
I don't care if they're big or small. They're for sale until I want them all. I like guns. I like guns. I like guns.
Okay, we gotta lose this ice pack. This is just way too uncomfortable. Oh, that's better. Talk about shrinkage. Ugh. I still think you should have kept the change one in there. It's not about the oddities, but the Stay Cats.